This is John's Gem number 68, based on chapter 15, the last two verses 26 and 27, about eyewitnesses. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." They, with the all-important help of the Holy Spirit, will be those who are to tell the world what has happened, and would shortly lead the infant church on its first steps. There is a fundamental and important difference here between what we in the Western world anyway would do and what they did. We think it is important that our witnesses to an important event should be dispassionate, uninvolved observers, able to provide an unbiased assessment of what is going on. That was not what they looked for in their recorder of events. They, Jewish and Roman alike, wanted their reporters to be those who had been deeply involved in the events recorded. That was probably because they considered the meaning of the events more important than the actual events themselves, and wanted a guide to that meaning, such as we would resist. Thus, the prime historian of the Roman-Jewish War of 40 years later, AD 68 to 71, basically the only one we have access to, was a man called Josephus, who was first a commander of the Jewish forces involved in the war, and then an assistant to the Roman general. He was not unbiased, but he had seen what was going on firsthand. It is easy to see the point of the way they thought in those days, and we must accept its value and not criticize it. We can see these ideas worked out in the four gospel writers. Not one of these four names himself within his writing. They took to heart the modesty and humility that Jesus asked of his followers. We only know who they were from reports from the early church. We cannot be absolutely certain of the accuracy of these, but there is really no good reason to doubt them. Matthew, also known as Levi, was with Jesus from very near the beginning of his ministry, starting in Mark chapter 2. We are told that Mark wrote at the direction of Peter, so his gospel is Peter's testimony to the events of the ministry of Jesus that he had observed from close to all the way through. Luke, very aware that he was not an eyewitness himself, emphasizes in the first few verses of his gospel that he had been very careful to refer to eyewitnesses of the events and had checked what they told him very thoroughly. John was clearly an eyewitness, although exactly who he was, which John, is a matter of much argument and disagreement. He was the beloved disciple of John chapter 13, verse 23, and various other places, but we don't know who that was either. John was a very common name in those days. He is usually taken to be John, son of Zebedee, but he was a Galilean fisherman, while the writer of the fourth gospel seems more likely to have been a sophisticated man from Jerusalem. But he certainly was an eyewitness of at least much of the life of Jesus. The result is that we have four accounts of the life of Jesus, which the very early leaders of the Christian church wisely refused to have combined into one. leaving them as true eyewitness accounts of what happened. No event of ancient history is anything like as well documented as the life of Jesus. We can rely on its truth and accuracy, even where it seems to defy all natural possibilities, as in the resurrection. To believe in Jesus and all the events of his life is not one step down from knowledge, as many would say. We believe because we know. We cannot testify because we are not eyewitnesses in a literal, visible sense. We can testify because of our experiences of the Spirit and his work in our lives. Go, testify.